When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now in the Corner Booth Podcast, a sports podcast from Billy Up Sports and the Billy Up Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jared Klein.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corner Booth Podcast. We are back for Season 3. It's your boy, Jared Klein, your fearless co-host, and my main number two, Mr. Kevin Langley.
What up? We are back.
We've got All-Star. We missed the trade deadline, I know, but, you know, me and Kevin were on vacation. But, you know, kind of good.
We also got the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we talk basketball enough, but we really don't really get into it much until, you know, March. But, yeah, we had a, you know, XFL's kicked off. It's not a terror. Me and Kevin have already announced our allegiances, and so is Savannah, ironically. And
I announced my allegiance months ago.
Yeah, well, also because our boy Sawyer was, you know, running that charge right with you, so.
Hey, Sawyer and I are St. Louis Battlehawks fans, lifelong.
New York Guardians, baby! I had to root for some New York team at least once in my life, so. And we got some NFL news, so let's get rock and rolling here. Oh, by the way, guys, Steve Peralt, friend of the show, all you guys loved when we came on last year, he basically told me how I was a genius for not a genius, but he told me I was intelligent enough to think the Diamondbacks were not going to be a last-place team like disgraced former guest Jack O'Hara said. I don't think Jack's really disgraced. I just think he's just more like he's on his own wavelength now. But we're going to talk some baseball. We'll talk Houston Astros. We'll talk Red Sox because he, you know, hosts a Section 10 podcast. So, you know, he's going to want to talk Sox. Him and Kevin are probably going to be complaining for about 5-10 minutes and me bragging how my team actually has some hope and some promise for the first time in 5 years. So a lot of stuff coming up. Rafael Haines, 3-point conversion, might be stopping by soon, and a couple other guests. So it's going to be a fun next couple weeks until the draft. First off, Kev, last weekend was All-Star weekend. We had the Rising Stars game, which Zion dominated. No surprise there. Him and John Morant were just doing crazy things and dunks, and it was par for the course. We had the 3-point shootout, which Buddy Hield won. Zach LaVine also gave a good run for possibly being the first player ever to win the 3-point shootout and the dunk contest, which would have been pretty cool. And then we get to our first big story of the weekend was the dunk contest. Kev, did you actually watch it, or were you like me and you just watched every dunk on replay?
I just watched the replays.
So I watched every single dunk and on replay, at least for Aaron Gordon and Derrick Jones. And I'm going to say this right now. If it ended in regulation, which I thought it should have, Aaron Gordon should have won. Aaron Gordon should have won. There was no chance. Like, some of those dunks from Aaron Gordon were ridiculous. But the problem was, once it got to overtime, everyone's complaining how it was rigged, it got robbed. And the thing that bothered me the most was that the two of the judges were talking, they were just going to have it as a tie. No, somebody wins the dunk contest. What kind of soft-ass crap is that? And the Derrick Jones Jr. dunks, like the one where Aaron Gordon pushed off Taco Fall, I'm like, not that impressed. Yes, Taco Fall 7'5", but like you saw he got a little push off of him. It reminded me too much of Nate Robinson jumping over Dwight Howard, honestly. But then the next day I watched LaVine versus Aaron Gordon round 2 and 1, like the highlights of those, and I was just like, oh my god, that was the greatest two dunk contests of all time. But
also though, Derrick Jones Jr. push off of Bam when
that
he
is
dunked
true.
Over. And I'm pretty sure Bam's shorter than Taco.
It is. I don't know. This whole dunk contest was just weird. I mean, it was amazing. It was entertaining. But it was just like the ending was just like, really? I thought it should end in regulation with Aaron Gordon winning. I didn't understand. What?
It should have. Also, Bam is 9 inches shorter than Taco.
That's insane.
But I hate Dwayne Wade. I've hated him from his playing days. I think he was a cheap, dirty player when he played.
See, we have opposite opinion about Dwayne Wade. We're not going to debate that right now.
I will debate that till the cows come home.
I don't want to debate that right now.
And I don't like Dwayne Wade. And I think this was a move. He just wanted Derrick Jones Jr. to win because they were trying to put it to another overtime. And they all agreed on it.
That's the thing that I was like, really? It's a Miami guy. And it's Dwayne Wade who played with him last year. And I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go.
And then Dwayne Wade's like, nah, Derrick Jones Jr. wins, even though he shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem. I think next year they really got to make sure with the dunk contest, they make guests who really have, like, no affiliation with any of the players, or at least, like, where they're not going to, like, you know, pull this crap. Because it's like, really? You're in a professional sports, like, contest, and there's some kind of favoritism. That's not cool.
What they should do is on Twitter or something. Yeah. Have a fan vote for the dunk contest.
Like they did back during the Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson dunk contest.
Yeah, like they like having fan votes for the All-Star game for who's going to get in. Why not have a fan vote for the dunk contest?
I mean, for at least the final. The judges' scores are awesome. Like it's a cool thing. Like that's something you always – it's like a tradition. It's cool about it. But you got – I don't know. Just this dunk contest felt kind of odd to me. I don't know. I think they got to tweak it a little bit, but, like, the All-Star game. Man, homeboys are playing hard. Like, you had dudes jamming, you guys yelling at each other, you had Kawhi going off for it. I loved how they were trying to win the quarter. Play defense. It was a great setup, and I'm actually like, you know what? I'm like, this isn't bad. This isn't terrible. I could watch this again. My favorite tweet was your boy Brewski going, hey, NBA, go fix the Pro Bowl now, please. And, I mean, he's got a point. The NBA figured this out in one season because the All-Star game used to be a joke. I used to actually rank the All-Star game below the Pro Bowl.
I think it's easier, though, for the All-Star game for them to say, like, hey, play real basketball. Because even though it's in the middle of the season, with the Pro Bowl, two of the best teams every year, none of their players are going. Well, and also in football, you're more likely to have a career-ending injury.
Okay, here's the other thing is, like, go back to how it used to be. Like, I don't get why they make it the week before the Super Bowl in Orlando. I hate that idea. It was so stupid. They tried it 1 year. It was awful. They went back to the old format for a year. And then they went back to the week before. Put it the week after. You know, yeah, it's going to suck. Some of the guys who are on the losing team have to go play. But you know what? It's a vacation. Bring it back to Aloha Stadium and just have it. It used to be a great – it used to be fun. I used to remember watching the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. It was always entertaining. It's just when Orlando is like the third coolest city in Florida. Like, seriously. It's like the third best city in Florida.
I would say second.
Yeah, I guess you can tie it with Tampa. I mean,
no, I think Orlando is above Tampa just because of Disney World and Universal Studios.
True. True. Okay.
They have that going for them.
I will give it that, but it's
like
also
all the players with kids. Like that's a little motivation to go.
Yeah. The other thing is weird. It's like with Orlando, it's the only city in Florida. It's the only swampy bayou, like kind of scary area in the middle of Florida. Florida's terrifying to me when you get off the coast.
No, Orlando still is kind of like that. Just around Disney isn't.
Yeah, true. I mean, I got friends who live in Orlando, friends who have family who live in Orlando, so they've been trying to recruit me to go in there forever, and I'm like, I don't know.
Unless but, you'll be in Disney and Universal, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So All-Star Weekend, overall, I give it a 7.58. It was good. Solid entertainment, not complaining at all. Switching up to baseball, Kevin, I thought we put away this Astros crap, but it's what – now that spring training started, it's what everyone's talking about. And we had Rob Manfred saying how he doesn't want to set a precedent for taking away the World Series. And Justin Turner being the world's biggest crybaby. But may I just say, as a Diamondbacks fan, it brings me so much joy that the Red Sox and the Astros did this to the Dodgers twice. But can I also say, the Dodgers' home hitting percentage in both series was garbage. So their argument is automatically tossed out the window at that point. I think this is going to be hysterical this season. I think that the amount of plunk, they're like, oh, severe fines if you plunk Astros players. What if it slips there, old Robbie? Like, come on. This whole situation, I'm tired of talking about it, but it's going to make MLB ratings so good. It's going to make the MLB fun this year. Because now you just don't have, like, this the Yankees for, you know, outbetting the entire league for Gerrit Cole. You now have the Astros, this former team, basically being the cheater villains. And it's going to make baseball semi-entertaining. Like, I'm actually kind of excited this year just to watch a couple, maybe get a couple games on, watch a couple games at, like, a bar or something.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Manfred saying that he doesn't want to set a precedent.
I do, too. Don't take away titles. It's stupid. They still had to get there.
But also, I mean, that you got to have more punishment than that.
Oh, suspensions, draft picks, keep chucking them. I don't care. Do it. Like,
I think the players are, they might not be all the masterminds, but the players are somewhat guilty of it.
They were involved with it, so they should have to pay for it. It's.
And then also, I love how hypocritical the Yankees are through this whole thing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They're Yankees fans saying, like, oh, well, the Astros beat us in the playoffs, so we should have been able to play for the World Series. When the Yankees were doing it as well, they signed Gerrit Cole. And players from the Yankees went to the – or players went from the Astros to the Yankees or vice versa and told their new team, hey, no, what you're doing is way far behind what everyone else is doing. Do this instead. And then they started doing it.
It also goes to the whole thing that everyone – if you're not cheating, you ain't trying in baseball. But it's like at the same time, it's like, oh, okay, well – I just, the Yankees fans crack me up. They always have. It's always the same thing. It's like, oh, we're all innocent. It's like, you guys are the worst of them all. Like, the steroid era, I swear to God, I think half of the guys on the list played for the Yankees or the Red Sox, Rangers, or Dodgers at one point. All big market teams have red guys. And it's the same thing with this whole cheating scandal, with the stealing signs of the electronics. You know, the Yankees were one of the first to do it, and they were just in this just as much, but the, like, I don't know how they're getting glossed over for this.
I do.
Please elaborate, Kevin.
They couldn't win.
Ah.
The Yankees, their setup right now is not to win. I don't think they can win with this current squad, maybe with Gerrit Cole now. But if they had won a World Series in that time frame, they would have been in just as much trouble. Possibly
so basically,
the Yankees.
Manfred's only chucking out the ones of the teams that actually won it. So, I mean, it's... Yeah. I don't like that standard because, like, you know, the Yankees still made it within a pitch of the World Series, but
it's also the Yankees are the MLB's golden boys.
Yeah.
Their players could have all been on steroids, murdering people in the streets, and they wouldn't get punished.
Basically.
They could have had Ray Lewis and Aaron Hernandez starting at the corners.
Right. The second one. The first one was acquitted, so... But, yeah, no,
neither of them were found guilty.
True. Well, one didn't make it to his verdict. The other one, you know, was found not guilty. Anyway, it's this whole situation is just irritating to me. I'm like, the Justin Turner comments to me crack me up because it's so, like, you know, we worked hard. We deserved a shot. It wasn't fair. I'm like, you guys still hit like crap at home. You guys still lost at home. And like in Dodger Stadium, where they couldn't really pull this stuff off. That's why it was hysterical to me. They're like, oh, we lost. I'm like, it wasn't like the Dodgers lost on like in close games against the Red Sox and Astros in those two World Series. They got their butt kicked. And it's hysterical. And
it's also not like it was a 4-2 series where the Dodgers blew them out at home and then lost on the road. Or 4-3.
Yeah, 4-3. Yeah, no, I get you. And this shows the Dodgers, the Dallas Cowboys of baseball. They, you know, best, you know, the big money, the West, like, you know, they're not the Yankees, but they're like that secondary brand. But they complain like the complaining to me is just hysterical. It's typical Dodgers. This is also coming from a Diamondbacks fan who despises the blue and white. So it's just like how much Kevin hates the Red Sox, about the equal amount of hatred. I mean, not the Red Sox, the Yankees.
Oh, well. It's getting to the point where it's the Red Sox.
Yes, Kevin. Kevin has been. Well, we have Steve Peralt coming on next week, and Kevin, I'm gonna have to tell both of you before we go on air. Like, you can only bitch about the Red Sox for 10 minutes total between the two of you.
Ugh.
So, you know what we'll do, Kev? You come on Xbox on Friday. We'll crack open a couple beers, and you'll get half your bitching out then. So by the time Steve comes on Tuesday or Wednesday, everything's kind of calmed down. We can talk a little baseball. We can do some division previews. Some guys we're excited to see going forward. Maybe a surprise team we're looking at. Like, stuff like that.
So, but here's the thing. If I get half my bitching out on Friday on Xbox, I will then still have 4 hours left to bitch.
So what you do is you tell Steve, I need a bottle of whiskey. Shout out to Kev's dad, Stone Cold Steve. I need a bottle of whiskey, a cigar, and we're going to take 2 lawn chairs and we're going to bitch about the Red Sox for 2 hours. Listen, one time I sat down with my dad. We had some beers and I complained about the Eagles when they had Chip Kelly for about 20 minutes. It works. It's, you know, unlike you, my team's only won one World Series. I'm used to them being absolute garbage. I'm used to them having crappy GMs. The first time we don't have a crappy GM, and we somehow have a plan, even though last year everyone called me crazy for saying that they're on the right track and they're not rebuilding, they're just reloading, and everyone's like, no, Jared, they suck. And I'm like, there's a lot of talent on that roster. Everyone's just overlooking because they don't have star power. But I also did not think Ketel Marte was going to shoot up to be one of the best players in baseball in 1 year. But, you know, that's just baseball for you.
But it's the Red Sox.
I know, it's the Red Sox.
Why aren't they paying their best homegrown talent at least?
I feel horrible for – I have buddies besides you who are Red Sox fans. My own father, half my family are Red Sox fans. And I feel bad for the first time in my life for Red Sox fans. Usually I despise you guys because you're almost as bad as Yankees fans. But the thing is, I can't – I feel horrible. Your GM's a moron. Your owner is too concerned with a failing newspaper. How are you this bad? Pay Mookie Betts. He's 27 years old. You get 4 or 5 more years out of him, and you ship him off to San Diego. It's what happens in baseball.
I don't think their GM's bad. Okay. I think he's cheap. Hired being told, get rid of Mookie, cut salary.
So it's basically John Henry being a cheap bastard.
Yeah, pretty much. He's too worried about, like you said, a dying newspaper. A subpar soccer team. Actually, Liverpool might be doing well now. I don't care. I'm American. A NASCAR. He doesn't care about the fans.
Yeah, he doesn't. And this is what the worst part is like, Boston, I can see this happening now. The Red Sox, I hope to God they don't turn into the Knicks, where their owner doesn't give a crap about the team. He just gives a crap about making the paychecks.
No, because I think John Henry is smarter than James Dolan.
That's true. I think I'm smarter than James Dolan.
I think John Henry realizes that by winning, you make more money, so you have to spend on the team. But now he alleviates
everything.
He's won enough now. He knows that he doesn't have to. People need to stop buying tickets because they keep raising prices even though they're trading their best homegrown talent. One of the most popular players in Boston right now for the Red Sox fans was Brock Holt. Not that great, obviously. He was a utility guy, but people loved him. Dude hit for the cycle in the playoffs. He's a really great guy. His son Griff's adorable, and people loved him. And he's in Milwaukee now because the Red Sox wouldn't pay him.
It's the cycle, man. Like for me, I only get to see my team live maybe twice a year. I see them on TV 8 times a year max, and I can't say for me as a guy, I don't live in Phoenix. I mean, it'd be great to live in Phoenix, except for the dry heat, but I'd have season tickets, man. I'd be at a D-backs game every night. But the thing is, for the way I look at it from your situation, I get what you're saying. Homegrown guys. So, first of all, Marte, I remember the trade we got him, and he stayed in the minors for 2 years. When we lost Goldschmidt to the Cardinals, man, I was like, it's like how you guys losing Mookie. I wanted to rip my hair out. I'm like, why? And I understood why we traded him, because the Yasmani Tomas deal basically bankrupted us for a season. But so the Greinke contract. But this is the thing with baseball. It's like a lot with the no salary cap, teams have to be really – teams can get in these holes. So I really want to try to understand. Like, I don't know who's going to win the World Series this year. I don't have any idea. Because the Yankees, I swear to God, their bullpen – and their starting rotation balances off. They're not going to be able to get past teams in the AL. At the same time, if the Brewers can stay healthy, I don't know. So it's going to be crazy. We'll talk more about that with Steve Peralt. Kev, you ready to switch over? Get your mind off baseball for a little bit. We'll talk NFL.
I guess.
All right. So it is no secret, ladies and gents, that Stephon Diggs is, not happy in Minnesota. Clearly, Thielen's the number one guy. Talent-wise, Diggs is better. Don't argue with me on that. Don't at me. Diggs is a superior player. Kirk Cousins is refusing to doesn't throw him the ball enough. Some teams I've heard he's been linked, have interest in him. I've seen New England. I've even seen Philly. I there's a ton of contenders. The list goes on and on and on. Our former co-host, Savannah Dean, even said, hey, he could go to the – I think he's going to the Packers. Savannah, we love you. We're excited for your new podcast, which I'll be a part of. And I will shut you down on this on your podcast, too. But that's like saying that the Cowboys would trade Zeke Elliott to the Eagles. It's not happening. There's a certain unwritten rule in football. You rarely ever see rivals trade each other players unless it's the Patriots picking on the Jets. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to put that there. It would be cool to see Diggs on a team with a quarterback who actually has an arm or actually has intelligence. Or not intelligence. Arm strength. Sorry. I mean, arm accuracy. Because Kirk Cousins is an intelligent human being, but he just, I think he might need LASIK surgery like Jameis Winston does. Even though now, Kev, I don't think we'll ever see him break the interception record ever now because he got his eyes fixed.
Never doubt the vibe.
Never doubt the vibe. Kevin's favorite horrible player is Jameis Winston, for those of you just joining us for the first time. Couple other news. Nigel Bradham, of course, got cut for Philadelphia yesterday. Eagles linebacker, Super Bowl hero. Guys, I'm going to tell you guys a little inside secret. Alshon Jeffrey won't be an Eagle next year. You heard? You may have not heard. It's not like you heard it here first because it's been said on a couple stations and a couple rumors already. But there's a whole thing going around right now that apparently Jeffrey has been disgruntled. They're trying to actually find – there's a buyout clause in his contract where if he does anything where he bashing the team, being disruptive, Philadelphia can cut him without having to owe him any guaranteed money going forward. And I'm like, I mean, I'll try to move him first. Maybe see if, the Jets, if we can muster up some super deal to get maybe a safety, Jamal Adams. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance the Jets would trade
Jamal Adams. I can hope for it, but it's not going to happen. But, maybe move Jeffrey for a couple picks. I don't know. Just do something with the guy. He's trade capital, even if he's a deadbeat loser. The dude, and it's I was trying to tell my buddy the other day, he's a Cowboys fan, and I said to him, listen. And he goes, well, you guys aren't cheaping Jeffrey? I'm like, no, the only receiver, that's the only three receivers we're keeping off of this class that we have, the guys we ended the season with, are Greg Ward, who's replacing Aguilar, DeSean Jackson, because he's one more year left. We're not going to cut the guy if he's basically going to retire after this contract. And he's still one of the top five fastest guys in the league. And what's his face? Arthego Whiteside, because he's under contract with us for two more years. I mean, if he has a Mac Hollins regression, yes, we'll cut him. But I think Philadelphia's one is going to go after Kev's boy Henry Ruggs, or they might. I've also heard they might trade up to get Lamb or Judy if one of them falls past 10. I could see both of them falling past 10 because apparently everyone wants a damn quarterback now. I've even seen Jordan Love go as high as 15, which is crazy to me. Oh, by the way, guys, I will be tweeting. I will be putting out my first mock draft day one of the after the final day of the combine. So, Gary, for that, I've already done a couple. I wish I could just share them with the links, you guys can look at them. I'm going to have to check into that because then I do one every week. But, my first one, I had Kev's boys taking a tackle, but that's back when I thought that your boy Brady was going to be there at the Patriots. So now we transition to our final NFL topic.
I can't talk about the other ones.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, yeah. Sorry, Kev. I'm so used to having to talk about myself and then having a comment at the end. So, Kev, take it away.
First off, Packers fans, shut up. Just stop talking, fans. No one cares about the Packers. Diggs is not going to Green Bay unless you give them two firsts and Aaron Jones. And they don't even need a running back. That would just be the Packers telling you, that would be the Vikings telling the Packers, hey, shut up, you're not getting them.
Yeah, it's Twitter, man.
Alshon Jeffrey,
yeah.
When I heard about that buyout clause, I would just next day, hey, I want him to have a press conference. Howie Roseman's an idiot and he sucks. Just to get out of there.
He's not gonna listen. The dude got his contract and then sucked. I'm not gonna mince words about it. The worst part is the story I heard with Jeffrey was, and there are multiple reports about this. So Carson Wentz, you know, how every quarterback will fly his receivers out to like some kind of vacation. It's like kind of a big, it's like a tradition. All the quarterbacks do it. So last year, Wentz bought a big house in Houston for him and his wife Maddie, and you know their daughter who should be coming sometime in the offseason. Congratulations to Carson and Maddie, by the way. So you know, I flew him out to Houston, and the only receiver who didn't show up, even Deshaun Jackson, who just you know lost his friend like 2 months earlier, Nipsey Hussle, childhood friends, by the way. I found that insane how they grew up in basically the same neighborhood and around the same age. Deshaun Jackson made it, you know. Mac Collins was there. All the tight ends were there. You had Nelson Aguilar and but his hands weren't there, but at least he was. Greg Ward was there. A couple of more other practice squad guys, and Arthego Whiteside. The only person who wasn't there, Kevin, was Alshon Jeffrey. Carson sent him the ticket, paid for it. Alshon never showed up. And I think there's a couple things. I think Alshon was liked Foles better, no question. Because Foles would stare down Jeffrey. If you don't believe me, go back and watch the film of all the games Foles played in with Jeffrey. Foles would basically stare him down. And unless he was double covered, he would try to just force the ball in there. I mean, Jeffrey's such a big receiver, he would make a lot of those catches. He's a great route runner. He's a big guy. But Wentz is more of a ball distributor. And everyone goes, oh, he threw to Carson. Ertz a record last year. Like it was like 124 receptions. Because Ertz was the only one that was open quick enough. That offensive line was struggling last year, and Jeffrey wasn't separating. They needed a deep threat, and Alshon wasn't helping. So, good riddance. Get that bum out of here. Take my number 17 off his jersey. Give it to a receiver who cares. Have Ruggs wear 17, or Judy or Lamb. They're all going to produce more. Or even this kid from Colorado whose name I can't pronounce.
I also don't think Ruggs is going to Philly. That was my last point.
Why? What do you think he's going higher?
Where's Philly picking?
21.
Oh, no. No, Ruggs is definitely getting taken before that.
You really think so?
Yes.
Who do you think's taking him before that?
Going through the list quickly, Denver, unless they trade back.
Denver's going to probably get CeeDee Lamb, though.
It depends. If the Colts get...
Also, free agency will flip this on a nose, too.
Yeah, the Colts don't need a quarterback right now.
I mean, that's like what the primary need was when they were talking to the press, but they might go get they're in the running for Phillip Rivers, apparently.
Yeah, but if Tua, Herbert, and Burrow are all gone.
Yeah, which they will be.
Yeah, so I think they'll just get weapons.
Or they trade back. To go get Eason or Love.
If they're not sold on either of them, though, the Jets might take a tackle, but still get a weapon, too. They need help in the passing game.
Also, you're also ignoring the fact that the Eagles might not trade up, too, which they've done the past, like, 3 years. It's what they do. We'll see as it gets closer. Because if Ruggs runs like a record 40 time at the combine, which Kev has kind of said he might, they even said it when they were, I think it was Greg Cosell was on the herd and he was like saying, yeah, this guy may break the 40 time record. He's that fast. And I didn't realize it until I'm watching the LSU Alabama game and I saw him blow by two NFL first round picks. Like they were just jogging next to him. So I am the biggest thing though. I want to see T. Higgins and CeeDee Lamb's 40s because I have no problem not getting Ruggs if Higgins runs a 4.4 because he's 6'5 and he's got Mike Williams size 6'4 6'5. He's got Mike Williams size, but he's got better separation skills. I'm all for that, especially a big receiver like that. maybe go get a short speed guy in the second round, or go maybe go get Roddy Anderson from New York, which we apparently have been rumored to go after. I don't know. There's a lot of different options. So if we don't get Ruggs, I'm not going to, you know, cry my eyes out. So, yeah. Last thing, CBA news. Before we do a little XFL last call. Kevin, you saw what they were going. Kevin, you want to take the lead, at least on the marijuana news?
Yes, according to reports, the new CBA is asking for marijuana testing to be lessened, but also the punishments to be less severe.
Which I'm totally for. It's legal in like 7 states now. Or 8.
I am not for that. I hate that. I hate they're asking for less testing and less severe punishments. I don't want them to test at all.
So you want more. You want more than what they're asking.
Don't punish for it. Now, look, if they show up to a press conference, give a joke press conference because they're high, yeah, punish them for that. They get arrested for marijuana possession in a state where it's illegal. Fine, punish them for that. Do not punish them for smoking marijuana. These guys are putting their bodies on the line every week.
Yes.
And, congrats, you're going to fine them and suspend them half a year without pay? Great, you're just getting them more addicted to opioids.
That's what I was going to make the same point. It's a system that's got to be fixed, and it's not even just the NFL. There's a lot of things like this where, like, the positive effects of marijuana are starting to come out even with just CBD itself. And it's an outdated system. These painkillers, they got to go. The opioids got to go. So
now, look, is marijuana perfectly healthy? No, there are issues with it, just like there are issues with any drug. Mm-hmm. Can it impacts maybe some of the younger players whose brains aren't fully developed yet because the brain stops developing at 25? Yeah, possibly. Is it better than Percocets, Valium, Xanax, whatever else they're prescribing? A hell of a lot better.
Yes.
NFL, it's 2020. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Protect your players. If not just because they're human beings, protect them because they're an investment, if that will get you to open your eyes.
Exactly, because the NFL sees dollar signs a lot as much as they do see players. I mean, it's also the most profitable sports league in America. So, I also think, though, it is a good positive step in the right direction. The other thing on that, which is interesting, Kev, is there's now a real possibility we could have 7 teams from each conference make it. 3 wildcard teams, only one team gets a bye. I like this a lot, because there's been a couple years where you have a really hot team who just doesn't make it, just because you know, they may have had a rough start and they finished the season a game back, but it was Philly in the Dream Team year. I think it was 2010, the year the Giants won, or 11. You had
2011.
You had the Bucks a couple years. I think it was 2008. The Bucks were 9-7, but they missed the playoffs.
16 Bucks too.
Yeah, 16 Bucks too. You had
the 08 Patriots were 11-5.
The 08 Patriots, yeah. But you, of all people, should know this. 11-5 Patriots. It goes on and on and on. This is perfect. You hate this?
I hate it.
I love it. You know why? Because it's going to make busting your ass for that number one seed even more impressive.
Yes.
And the other thing is why I like this is that you're going to have a possibility, like another Tennessee Titans story. Like maybe it's a team with a young quarterback. Let's say for some all intents and purposes that, let's say, this is what I actually have in the draft. Let's say Herbert goes to the Chargers and they're like 9-7. They're the last seed in the playoffs. And they're the 7th seed in the AFC. And they take on the 2 seed, let's just say, 2 seed Titans. Let's say the Titans, you know, figure out or play great like next year. They're the 2 seed behind the Chiefs. And they walk in. I don't know, man.
Ravens.
Ravens. Chiefs, I don't know. Okay, fine. Okay, let's say Ravens. Let's just say the Ravens. All right. Let's just say the Chargers go to Baltimore. Rematch of last year's playoffs. And Herbert lights it up. And it's a shootout. And, you know, last second field goal, Chargers win. Now you have the 7th seed. You have chaos. It's already great because there's a one-game urgency. But now you have fans of teams that are like, you know, 9-7, and they still have a shot. And if you – and it's not as bad as it used to be where, like, if you're a solid 9-7 team, maybe you had one bad injury and it kind of screwed you for a couple games. But there's one conference – there's one division where there's, like, you know, two teams that are 12-4. You could still sneak into the playoffs as a wild card team and not have to worry about that. I love this. I'm all for it.
I hate it for multiple reasons.
Other teams. What'd you say?
I hate it for multiple reasons.
All right, shoot.
One, the Dream Team Eagles might be the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, they're hysterical. That team could not stop the run.
And I'm not trying to make fun of you. I just think it would be hysterical. It's going to be hysterical again when another team does this and they still miss the playoffs. That's what I want.
That team won like five straight going to the end. They were beating playoff teams by a lot. The problem was is that they didn't start clicking until it was too late. But that's the NFL for you.
Two, another reason why I hate this. You say that it's going to cause like a 9-7 upset or a team that had an injury or an 11-5 or a 12-4 team who was second in their division because of division records. I see it the other way. Let's say the Chargers go into Baltimore in your scenario with a rookie quarterback. 9-7 at a decent year. They get blown out by 30 points.
So they get blown out. Just another playoff game.
More often than not, that's what's going to happen. It's going to cause more blowouts.
Well, here's the thing. If it doesn't work this way, they have to do a new CBA in 4 or 5 years anyway. It's not like this is permanent. I think for the next couple of years. Also, Kev, play the wild card weekend's always fun anyway. Like, playoff football is the best. Now we're going to have 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday.
I don't see a problem with that.
What?
I hate wild card weekend.
Well, you hate it because you didn't have to watch it for like 10 years, and then you had to watch it for once and your team loses.
Yep, but also, there's another reason, a more sinister thing behind this that I think.
The Cowboys to get in more?
The NFL part, probably. The NFL was pushing for an 18-game schedule, and everyone was like, no, this is stupid. More players are going to get injured. This is a way to appease the NFL. Say, hey, we don't want an 18-game schedule, but we'll add another playoff game. I don't like anything that is done to appease the NFL.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Hey, Roger, we're not going to do 18 games. We'll add a play. No. Don't give Roger what he wants. It's going to come back to bite in the ass.
Kevin has a very strong hatred of Roger Goodell.
Yeah, he's an idiot. I could do better at his job.
I actually would love to see you as NFL commissioner. I would just hope you'd hire me for the media department.
Look, Roger Goodell is fine in terms of what the owners want. He's getting them more money. But the punishments are ridiculous. What he pushes for is ridiculous. An 18-game schedule, Roger, shut up.
The 18-game schedule was stupid. 17, maybe. But I just – it's – I'm the 16-game – the 17 weeks, it's tried, it's true, it works. I've kind of been pushing for a third wild card team. I like the idea at least to try it out. It's good because you know everyone goes hard in playoff games anyway. You're gonna see a lot more teams like at the end of the season in contention, which is what the teams want. A lot better ratings in week 17, which generally in week 17 most of the games suck. Now you're gonna have teams busting out to try to make sure they get that last roster spot. I see a lot of chaos. I think it could be fun.
I also see a lot of injuries.
What?
I also see a lot of injuries coming from this.
Maybe, maybe not. I also saw injuries were down last year, except for a couple of bad ones on my team.
So injuries are down finally, so you're going to add more games to get them back up?
We'll see what happens, Kev. We can't control it.
You can control it by not adding stupid, unnecessary games.
Well, we can't control it. But, I mean, if you're talking to Roger directly, sure.
I just hate Roger Goodell. That's the thesis of what I just said. I hate Roger Goodell. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I was waiting for you to say that. All right. Speaking of talks, let's kick ass move jazz.
Got weird shit?
Oh, wait, you have one tonight?
Yeah.
All right. We got some weird shit. Pause the smooth jazz.
I want to bring to light a man by the name of Orestes Mini Minoso.
Say that 4 times fast.
Nicknamed the Cuban Comet. And Mr. White Sox, the anniversary of his death is in a couple weeks. He died March 1st, 2015. Do you know what's special about this man?
No.
He is the only player to appear in 7 decades of baseball.
Holy mother.
He started his career in 1947, I believe, in the MLB. Nope, sorry, 1947 in a Negro League, 1949 in the MLB. Started with the Cleveland Indians, played for a while with the White Sox. And in 1980, he appeared for the White Sox, got a single, oldest player to get a single. It was a publicity stunt, though. You might be saying, though, Kevin, that's only 4 decades. He made more appearances. In the 90s, he appeared for the St. Paul Saints, I believe. Looking for that right now. Yes, the St. Paul Saints, a minor league team, did that in the 90s. Then in 2003, he once again appeared for the Saints and got a walk at the wonderful age of 77.
Jesus.
Thus appearing professionally, he also had an appearance in, no, that would be 80s, 90s, 2000s. So he is the oldest player to make an appearance, but also the only player to appear in 7 different decades in professional baseball.
That's insane.
What a guy.
We also talk about, like, you know, Vince Carter, 4 different decades playing basketball, but this is just even crazier.
Not the oldest basketball player ever, actually.
I know.
Nat Hickey, I think, is that designation.
Yeah, 42 years old. Right?
When he appeared, he was 46.
All right. Wow.
He was a coach for the Providence Steamrollers and inserted himself into the game. He was like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to play. And played one shift at the age of 46 in 1948.
Wow. There you go. Sports in America, guys. All right. Speaking of wild, crazy sports in America, Kev, it's time for that smooth jazz. We talking XFL. All right, so me and Kevin have already announced our affiliations. I, of course, will be rooting for the New York Guardians. Kev is the Battlehawks. We are actually going to go to that game in March in New York at MetLife. Kevin, just try not to just put on some extra sanitizer when you go. I know it's a dirty, dirty, awful place. I hate MetLife too. And both
I'm
of my
sure a hazmat suit.
I mean, I want to too. I blast. The only 2 NFL games I've ever seen have been at MetLife. I love the XFL. I probably watched 5 or 6 of games now. Even when my team's not playing, it's still entertaining. It's not NFL football, but I think they got this right. Like, you know, everyone remembers how last year I was all about the AAF. I'm like, oh, this is fun, this is cool. But the AAF sucked because I could never find it. And the worst part was, it was just the most random teams. And also the funding just felt sketchy. This feels right. I mean, I'm also trying to kiss butt a little bit so I can finally get some of those applications the XFL pushed through. Since their home office is literally 45 minutes from my house. It looks fun. It's football. It's basically minor league football. But it's, because, you know, if you get a couple of these teams who play well, players who play well, they get NFL contracts, and oh, look, now you have a system that might actually work. There's only about 2 XFL guys who actually scored a touchdown this year. I think one of them was on the Eagles with Greg Ward. So I am honestly up for this completely. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that the playoffs, I'm excited for it. I love the rules. I think the NFL is probably going to steal a couple from them. And the DC Defenders suck. That's my last comment. Guy and Kev?
I love the XFL.
Oh, I do too.
They actually had their attendance went up between week 1 and 2, which is a good sign.
That is a very good sign, because the AAF, it went from okay to ouch.
Yeah, now it's going from like okay-ish to just okay, and now I think it's going to keep getting better.
I think we might actually have a sellout by week, like, 9 or 10. Maybe not sellout, but, like, a sellout for, like, the size they expect. Because you're not going to sell. Some of these stadiums are smaller. Not all of them are playing in a full-size stadium like MetLife, but, I mean,
like, Audi Field, the soccer stadiums are playing in, maybe.
Like, Savannah posted a picture of, like, how big the stadium was when she was there with to go see the Defenders, and she's and it didn't look like a massive. It looked like what the Chargers were playing in.
Yeah, the Chargers were playing in a soccer stadium.
Exactly. So there you go. It's. I think it'll work. I honestly think that this whole thing will work, and I think it's gonna be a great kind of minor league system for football. And you know, you're gonna have guys who maybe couldn't struggle. It's gonna also, you know, what it's gonna do. It's gonna make the guys who couldn't hit it during training camp and get drafted. The next year they play in the XFL, and it seems like, oh, that guy can ball. Let me invite him to training camp. Like, you might start seeing just, like, a whole list of XFL invites to certain NFL, as long as the XFL isn't trying to, like, you know, take on the NFL, which I think is a smart thing not to do.
No, not like last time. Or was that the USFL?
That was Donnie Diesel in the USFL.
It was the USFL? All right. Oh, that was a mistake.
Oh, totally. I watched the 30 for 30. It was awful. It was like watching the Titanic sink.
No, the XFL's genius. Playing smaller stadiums, make it look more crowded.
You know, like, the chugging of the Bud Light seltzers after games is perfect. I love it.
What team is that?
That'd be the Battlehawks.
Battlehawks? I didn't remember if it was
that. And then also the Houston Roughnecks do it, too.
Yes, because I remember I saw Landry Jones when their coach, I forget his name.
Landry Jones, man. We all remember him from OU. He was a wild animal, so.
The coach was talking after the game, and you just see him standing there, chugging a seltzer or a beer while his coach is talking.
I actually kind of want to try those Bud Light seltzers. I mean, I like the Natty Light ones. I know you're a fan of the claws.
There ain't no laws. You know what I'm saying.
Kevin, the White Claw aficionado. There was enough White Claw cans in our recycling bin on vacation from you, buddy.
That was a great time.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. I mean, come on. Where else am I going to get a chance to hit your head against a pillar?
No. Yeah, don't. That's why my dad doesn't listen to this one. I also like Twisted Tees. Twisted Tee, sponsor
us. Twisted Tee, sponsor us. Seriously. We've been trying to get you to sponsor us. We'll tag you in every podcast, every tweet. We'll hashtag Twisted Tee. Hashtag sponsor us until you do it. This is a
this
promise.
Podcast is unofficially brought to you by Twisted Tea, because that's the only thing that got me through college.
Honestly, I like drinking Twisted Tea when I watch the NFL draft, so I will second that.
It's a nice low-key drink.
It is. It's better than Spiked Arnold. I had Spiked Arnold Palmer. I'm like, oh, this is no, it's not. It ruined it for me. It ruined Arnold Palmer for me. I haven't had one since.
As my friend used to call them, Tweez. A lot of people do, but that's where I heard it. Tweez, they don't punch you in the mouth. It's just a nice, smooth, relaxing drink.
And they sneak up on you.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good time. Twisted Tea, sponsor.
Twisted Tea, we want to be sponsored by you. We will keep tagging you in this tea, sponsor us. I'm Jared. That's Kevin. We'll catch you guys next week with Mr. Steve Perrault.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Corner Booth Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and on Twitter @CornerBoothPod.